Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. Glad to have you part of the broadcast today. And we're looking forward to a great hour as we spend a little time together talking radical prayer, the power of being bold and persistent. And looking forward to this conversation. Instead, I think, you know, maybe like most of us, our prayer life isn't what we'd like it to be.
Yeah, you know, John Eldridge was talking about this with Susie Larson last week. I heard a little bit of that, too, and he talks about how we just sometimes randomly, when the crisis comes, that's when we start praying more and things like that, instead of just being focused and claiming our authority in prayer.
Well, yeah, and oftentimes it kind of comes down to the heart, right? We mutter the usual and leave with little expectations. So we're going to meet someone who has had a radical transformation in his life and has become passionate about prayer and has written a wonderful little resource called Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. We've got, I think, five copies to give away, and I know you're going to really appreciate this wonderful little resource as well as today's conversation as we welcome Manny Mill to the broadcast. Manny is the Chief Executive Officer of Koinonia House National Ministries, and their mission is to bridge the gap between the Christian inmate and the local church. And it's been almost 25 years that they've been facilitating the integration of the former inmate into the church, the workplace, and society through biblical discipleship. And that's what a key ministry that is. Manny graduated from Wheaton College, been privileged to proclaim the gospel in churches, schools, conferences, and especially behind prison walls across the United States and abroad. He has five adult children and a grandfather of six. And he is with us today to talk about radical prayer. Manny, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you for this great show, Neil, and it's great to be with you and with everybody who is listening through the Midwest. Hallelujah.
Well, you know, we're going to talk of use the Lord's Prayer as the kind of basis for the book. And I think most of us are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, but maybe just to start us out, what is it you think we may have overlooked or not understood about this prayer?
I think that the main point that we have missed, which I did not see myself, is the fact that when Jesus is asked by his disciples, who he's been with, I mean, this is now at the end of his life on the earth, and these men have been with him now for at least 2 years, and they've been watching him. Well, in this chapter, Luke 11, the disciples are watching him, and they said to him when he's finished, he says, "We want to be able to talk to our Father the same way that you do." And they ask him, "Will you teach us to pray?" And the first thing that Jesus says, verse 2 says, "Our Father." Look at that. He is including us with him as our older brother. I don't think that we look at him that way. But Hebrews 2 says to us that he is. It says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So I think that what makes this book so unique is that we argue in the book that "hallowed be thy name" is not just an acclamation, is not just a worship, which could be, but "hallowed be thy name" is the prayer. In other words, Jesus is saying to us, "I want you to pray the priority of my Father." And he's saying everything that we pray has to be, the end goal is, the goal is to hallow the name of our Father, which means to honor my Father, which means to cherish my Father, which means to value him, to worship, to adore him, to revere him. And I don't think that many of us, at least I didn't, really think about everything that we ask of our Father. The content of what we ask is to hallow his name. So that's why he says, "Let your kingdom come." For what? To hallow his name. "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." For what reason? to hallow his name. And then he switches to us. He says, hey, you also need to eat. So he says, give me my daily bread. Give me my black beans and rice, you know, Cuban black beans and rice. For what? So I can have energy to hallow your name, you know. I want to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven. How can I be talking to a guy who is holy if I'm guilty? And then I have to forgive others as well because I've been forgiven of much. I have to embrace others and ask the Father to also forgive them, even those people that we don't like too much, you know. And then he said, and lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. For what? To hallow his name. So the hallowing of God's name has to be critical, has to be what drives us, has to be what consumes us, has to be what we need to be desperate for. So that's what made this book so unique, Neil. Thank you for asking that question.
We'll dive into it more as we go along in the conversation. But you mentioned, you know, your black beans and rice as a Cuban. You grew up under the communist regime, so you'll have to tell us a little bit about your story because there was a point in your life where prayer was probably the last thing in your mind, right?
Of course. And as you see now, everybody says about Cruz and Rubio, they're both, as you know, paisanos of mine. They have dads and moms, at least Rubio's moms and dads, they were born in Cuba. And they came here, as we did. And look at this. Now these two guys are running for the presidency of the biggest country in the world. Yeah. So, yes, I was born there. I was raised in a family that was a good family, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. I mean, we were Catholics, but we never went to church, maybe once or twice a year. And most Cubans, about 70% of us, are very proud people, and we are very much idolatrous. We have many, many, many idols. My mom was one of them. My mom was a witch, was a santera. She was a medium. So all these demons went through her. So we didn't believe in Jesus as you and I believe now. So, of course, if we don't believe in Jesus, then we don't need God. And we become God. We think that we are God. Fidel Castro thinks that he's God. And that's why he can tell us that he's going to do all this stuff for us, when in fact he never came through with none of the stuff that he said. So that's, I grew up there until I was 14 years old. And then I left with my mom, my dad, my sister, and my uncle to Spain as a refugee. I was there for about 2 years and came to the U.S. when I was 16 years old.
There's a lot more to the story, which we'll probably need to get into. In fact, you've written about that in your previous book called Radical Redemption, the real story of Manny Mill, and we'll hear a bit more about that. But I also want to focus on prayer and make that the center of our conversation this hour. It's always appropriate, and as we've talked about already, what does it mean to pray? Hallowed be thy name. We'll discuss that more with Manny in just a few minutes. Manny serves as the executive director of Koinonia House National Ministries, and they've been developing a core of post-prison ministries to equip the church to meet the needs of Christian ex-prisoners to return to society. And there's a reason why Manny is so passionate about this, and we'll have him share a bit about that story as well. We'd have some copies of Radical Prayer to give away whenever we have resources available. We love to do that as a drawing, and so if you'd like to be a part of that drawing, you can sign up for a copy by calling us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And Carissa will get your contact information. We'll put you in the drawing for this great little resource from Manny Mill called Radical Prayer, the Power of Being Bold and Persistent. You want to be more bold and persistent in your prayer? Then stick around for more of our conversation on Connecting Faith. What a If we prayed as Jesus taught us to pray, what would that look like? Well, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer according to God's will, a prayer that beckons heaven to crash into earth. Tied to the sure promises of God, it compels us to seek and expect His glory in every sphere. That's the premise of Manny Mills' book called Radical Prayer. Manny serves as the chief executive officer of Koinonia House National Ministries. Their mission is to bridge the gap between the Christian inmate and the local church. And when Manny talks about radical prayer, I guess maybe part of that is because your life was sort of on the radical edge for a while, wasn't it, Manny? Just say a little bit more about your story before we dive back into prayer.
Yes, radical means to go back to the roots. And I was as lost as you can be. I was as dead as you can be. I was running from the FBI, facing 55 years behind bars. I was hiding in Venezuela. And it was there that Jesus, over 30 years ago, actually, arrested me, confronted me with His truth, and I was invaded by the grace of God, just like the Apostle Paul did. And my mom, who I just mentioned to you guys, she was a witch. She became a believer. She became saved from the wrath of God, and she began to ask the Father to save me as her son. And the more that she did, the worse I got. And I broke the law. I mean, I didn't have to. I was making money. I was the mayor's aide for the city of Union City, New Jersey. I was involved in Chosen. I knew everybody. I was the number one salesman in the company, company called Sun Life. I mean, I have my own company. I was making money, but I was greedy. I was after the money. I was after the sex. I was after the power. And I broke the law, and the FBI began to look for me, and I didn't want to look for them, so I began to run. That's what we do. We become chickens. We become cowards. But my mother was asking God, the Father, to arrest me, and He did. And people can read that in the first book that you mentioned. But I came back to face the music, and God had mercy on me, and I only served 21 months, which was a miracle. I was supposed to still be doing time right now, but I'm not. And when I got out, I was chosen to go to Wheaton College under the Charles W. Colson Scholarship. And I am here because my mother faithfully, persistently interceded for me, and God heard her voice on her plea. I departed from that, and that's why this new book that we are talking about, Radical.
Well, you had the example of a godly mother who wasn't going to give up, and you having, you know, been in prison and worked with prisoners, know that sometimes, I mean, prayer is really maybe the only way out for some of the hard situations there. You know, I think we look at prayer pretty casually most of the time, don't we? In fact, I think you, as you talked about even in your book, you kind of started that way too. It took maybe a retreat for you to realize that your prayer life wasn't what it should be.
Yeah, and let me say this. We have 2.6 million people behind bars in this country. And we have another 11.7 million people that go to the jail system. So just imagine, just do the math, how many human beings we have behind bars who have mothers, who have no fathers. And that's why they are there, because of the broken family. But I had a mother who interceded for me. So I want to encourage and give mothers hope who may have a son or a daughter or a grandchild who is even involved in gangs. He's not in jail yet, but he might end up there, or he might end up dead. And there's hope when we come to the good Father and we say, "Hey, Father, will you save my grandson? Will you save my son? Will you save my daughter?" And when we do that with persistency, for the hallowing of God's name, and we fuel those petitions with God's word. For example, Malachi 4:6, which says God the Father is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. And in chapter 10 of my book, we see my daughter, who I abandoned, who I was never the father to, who found me 14 years ago. She just became a Christian this last March, was baptized through a very unusual circumstance, in a very unusual way, because God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, and we need to know the who and not the how. And in a very unusual way, my daughter, Sasha, 32 years old, became a born-again believer. Her marriage was restored. Now she's going to a good church in New Jersey, engaged in Sunday school, engaged in ministry there, and she's now serving Jesus because a bunch of us began to believe that God can do that. And now we have a bunch of guys that meet with me every Wednesday, 25 of us, who in a seat for our children, and we are seeing miracles after miracles. We see supernatural break.
Manny, you think... I think sometimes we, you talked about, you got together with some people that believe that God was going to do a great work. I wonder if that's maybe where some of us, fall short. We wonder, is God actually going to answer our prayers? Do we really believe by faith that, our prayers work? Just how do you respond to when we have doubts and maybe we lack the faith to believe?
I think that I had doubts too. I think that doubts is what keeps us from really believing that God is a good father. And I think that the doubts come, Neil, when we don't spend time in God's word. In this book, I am saying that we cannot really intercede for anybody, not even for ourselves, unless we fuel it with God's word. And it is God's word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is God's word that's going to really pierce our hearts and infuse us with that faith, with that abundant faith that is going to lead us to the abundant life that Jesus actually tells us that He's going to give us, because He is experiencing, Jesus is also experiencing this abundant life. And this book is about God the Father inviting you and I and every listener to enter into this perpetual love affair that Jesus has with the Father. And for me, it happened because even after 20 years of going into the jails and speaking in churches, writing this book that I wrote first, I got diverted. I drifted. And I began to think, hey, now I went to Wheaton College. I have a BA degree. I have a master's degree. Look at all the success that I am having here. So I stopped praying. I just did it. And I began to depend on myself. And what I did was I quenched the Holy Spirit. That's what I did, And God had to use my own wife to almost lose her life and lose a few fingers in her left hand by being hit by another lady here in Wheaton, and she was inside that vehicle for 90 minutes bleeding. God had to use that very dramatic experience to begin to awaken me that I was treating my father as a paramedic.
The phone cut out a little bit there. Just say more about that, treating God as a paramedic. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, many of us think that we can come to God whenever we want to. Many of us have needs. Many of us has things that we want God to help us with, and many of us are used to do it, only came to him when we were in need of the Father. In other words, we don't want him for who he is. We want our Father for what he's going to give us. And that's why many people come to Jesus, because we want the benefits, but we don't want the responsibility. In other words, we want Christ, but we don't want the cross. We don't want to be responsible. And when things get tough, then we blame God for it because we are not obeying him. So I was not being an obedient child, an obedient son, because I did not really wanted my Father. I wanted what he was going to give me. And God had to use my own wife to begin to awaken me. And that was not all that he had to do. I mean, he had to really hit me over the head a few times. And that was just the beginning to catch my attention. And now my wife has to be in pain every single day without those fingers. And it's a reminder, and I take responsibility for that, because God was after me, and he used the wife that I said that I love to be able to get my attention. And it was when I went to this conference for pastors that really got to me. I usually go there every year up north, and this year I was not going to go because my wife was not doing well. She had to go through all these therapies. But my wife looked that this conference was about one thing, prayer for pastors. So she said, no, you are going to go this year. So she registered me. She sent me. In the midst of her pain, she sent me, and I was there for almost 4 days. Great sermons, great speakers. I found out that 80% of pastors in America, Neil, don't pray. In other words, we don't have a personal, private prayer life, and that was me. I was in that 80%. And I also found out that most of our pastors and leaders in America, in the church, don't have time or do not take the time to spend time with their spouses praying. But what got to me at this conference was that we were almost there for 4 days. We had nothing else to do but to be there. And we talked about prayer, Neil, but we never prayed.
Many. We need to take a break and, yes, and come back. And I think,
yes,
what you're saying is where many of us are living. Yeah, we love to talk about it, but actually doing it. We're going to talk about radical prayer, the power of being bold and persistent. I mean, how do we engage in that to maybe for the first time, or to re-engage? I mean, if you can relate to Manny's story, you know, I've been doing it on my own for too long. I want to get back to seeking to hallow God's name. We'll talk more about radical prayer. We got some copies of the book to give away. You can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you have a question or a comment. Join the discussion. It's 877-933-2484. Manny Mills, Chief Executive Officer of Koinonia House National Ministries, with us today on Connecting Faith. Be in the camp that many of us find ourselves in at some seasons in life, where we don't take time to pray, or we don't involve others in the prayer. We just feel like we can do it on our own. And my guest today, Manny Mill, was in that situation. In fact, had gone to a pastor's conference and they talked about prayer, but didn't necessarily pray, which we are good at doing here. Even on Connecting Faith, and we want to make sure by the end of the program that we do actually take time to pray. I'm going to ask Manny to lead us, but we want to hear more of the story. Manny is the Chief Executive Officer of Koinonia House. It's their national ministries. They've been developing post-prison ministry leaders to equip the church to meet the needs of Christian ex-prisoners returning to society. And we're honored to have Manny with us today talking about his book, Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. Manny, say a little bit more about, you know, when we're in that season and feel like, well, we just kind of get going on life on our own and we sort of forget to pray, I guess.
We have so many negative things pulling on us, and they want to pull us away from God, and the devil helps with that. I mean, the devil's still kicking, the demons are still there. I don't see the devil nor demons behind every bush, Neil, but of course he's still kicking, so I see him behind some of the bushes, and for sure the devil wants to steal us away from praying. The devil wants to take away the joy. And there's no way that we can experience real joy without really speaking to our Father, because the Father invites you and I to enter into this perpetual, joyful, loving experience that he's having with his Son, Jesus. So I am there, and I was destroyed. So I came home, and I told my wife, Barbara, I just came to a conference that you sent me on prayer. Great speakers, over 2,000 pastors there, but we never took the time to pray. I even went into the little prayer room to see if I found one or two people there at the most at all times. So there's a cancer in the church of not spending time praying. And I've been talking now to hundreds of pastors, maybe thousands now, in the last 5.5 years, since that happened to me. And I'm finding the same thing. People just don't want to pray. And they just don't. It is the toughest discipline to really get into it. But I believe that when we rely on the Holy Spirit that did not come to rent our house, he came to own our house, he's going to give us the power that we need. Because one thing that I want to tell everybody listening to this, that although the Father, it is true, abandoned Jesus when he was hanging in there, hanging, making payment for our sins, the Holy Spirit never did. The Holy Spirit never did. And in this text that we're going to be jumping soon, we see that in Luke 11:13, Jesus said, listen, I've been there, done that. I've been there, done that. If you being an evil father, you're not going to give to your children a piece of stone if they ask you for this Cuban toast with jelly and butter, or if they ask you for this eggs with chorizo and Swiss cheese and tomato, you're not going to give them a scorpion. Or they ask you for a nice piece of fish, broiled fish, you're not going to give them a serpent. So then, how about your Father? Your Heavenly Father says, how much more is your Heavenly Father is not going to give us if we ask him for what? For the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's key. Not only do we have to get into God's Word, but we really have to get to know the Holy Spirit correctly. So in pages 98 through 103, in our book, we were really explicit biblically, because I'm a biblicist now, of who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to pray. Without him, we will not pray, because we want to be independent. And that's what happened to me. And I want to also tell people who are now with us on the radio that when I came home and I tell that to my wife, Barbara, we never pray. So I went away to a cabin in Wisconsin because I was now destroyed. And now I was convicted. Now I was really sad. Now I had to do something radically and dramatically. I needed God to meet me. So I went to get my evaluation. I wanted God to tell me, hey, you've been doing this for 21 years, so I wanted God to tell me, how am I doing in ministry? And when I got to the cabin just by myself with no cell phone, that's tough for a Cuban to do. It is. I mean, we're always talking. We don't listen too well. That's why we need to talk to God, so you listen to him. So anyway, I get there, and the first hour, I was on my knees I was weeping, I was repenting, and I heard the Holy Spirit on behalf of the Father give me my actual grade, Neil. And it was not a C, not a D or a D minus. It was an F minus. It was an F minus because my own prayer life stunk. Stunk real bad. It was not pleasant to my Father, because any time and every time that we do one thing without God, we're doing evil. We're doing evil because we become idols. And I have become my own idol. I have become my worst enemy. I was. So I had to repent. And what really got to me was this, that God was merciful to me. He was gracious to me, and he pointed me to a portion of a scripture that really got to me. It is when Moses is at the end of his life, and God tells him to go to the mountain, and he's going to kill him. He's going to kill him because Moses, the greatest character, in my humble opinion, in the Old Testament, did not have a do-over. In other words, he failed to hallow the name of the Father, and because of it, God gave him mercy, yes, but he never gave him grace. Whoa, think about that. Moses, if I compare my ministry and my life to Moses, I am all the way down at the bottom. I am. God did not give Moses a do-over. Why in the world was he giving me a do-over? So he told me, Manny Mel, I'm going to give you a do-over, but you cannot do this again. And he really got to me, and he put the fear of God, his fear in me, the good fear in me. And that was the beginning of this new journey, of this new book that now you read and that you want everybody to get a copy of it.
Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent, written by Manny Mill. And we've got some copies to give away. 877-933-2484 is the phone number to sign up for one of those. Manny, you referenced that the wonderful passage in Luke 11 where Jesus is teaching on prayer. And as you say, you know, the Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to us. But in the book, you explain that Jesus tells a parable in that section that we sometimes misunderstand. There's that neighbor needing bread for unexpected guests, and he comes and knocks on the neighbor's door. Say more about that. What are we missing from that story?
Well, that's a very unique parable. It only appears here. It does not, you don't find it any place else. It's a bizarre parable. And as you know, in most parables in the Bible, Neil, we have to find quickly at least two characters. Number one, where am I in the story? And where's God? Well, it is pretty easy to find who you are and who is me. I am the guy who goes out to knock on this friend's door on behalf of my neighbor that just came in at midnight asking me if he could stay with us, and I am obligated by culture to be able to allow him to stay with me. So I have the house, I have the bed, I have the room, but I don't have the food. And I'm also obligated to provide him with food. So I go to the pantry and I find nothing. I go to the fridge and I find nothing. So I say, hey, Johnny, wait right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go and see my friend. And he goes to see him. He knocks on the door, and the friend listens to him. And I believe that in this parable, the friend that I just knocked on the door on behalf of my neighbor, I believe that he is representing God. But you see, for most of us, we will not see it because in America, we do not want to emulate or say that that might be God. God gets up from the bed and tells me, go away. go away. I am sleeping. I don't want to pray to a God that tells me to go away. I don't want to talk to a God that tells me I'm sleeping. That's not the way that we teach in America. We want things quickly. We want things rapidly. We want things right now. We want things instant, don't we? But Jesus said, remember, you asked me to teach you to pray, right? So I'm going to give you an example because I know my Father better than you do. I know who my Father is. I have an inside scoop that you don't have. I know him really, really well. Let me tell you how he's like. And that's where this parable takes a twist. And it goes to verse 8 and says that my friend, which tells me I've been there before, my friend got up, not because he was my friend. He got up because of my persistence. In other words, he got up because of my inappropriateness. He got up because I was not ashamed of knocking on that door, on that one door. You see, the key is this. I cannot change doors. I have to stay on the one door, but many of us, if this door doesn't open when we want to, and the way that we want to, what do? We go to the other door, and the other door is not a good door. It's a dangerous door, because you see, the devil will give you what you want. We call that what? The prosperity gospel. And we think that it came from God, when in fact it came from the devil, and we began to worship the devil in Jesus' name. And that's a reversal that we are seeing in many of our churches in America. That we want and we get what we want. Well, the devil will give you what you want and when you want, because he wants your worship. He wants you to skip the cross. But anyway, then we see how Jesus interprets for us verses 9 and 10. In 9:10, verse 8, he says, let me explain to you what I mean by you being persistent. The story says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. And then verse 10 goes back to verse 2. Remember, our Father, verse 10 says, for everyone. So he's including us in our Father. Now, listen. For every one of his children who ask will receive. Every one of his children who seeks the door, who seeks after him, he will find. And everyone who knocks on the door will be open. I mean, look, and then we see there are three verbs in the Greek. They all continue without ending, and they all require our persistence until God opens the door and say, here, Neil. Here, Manny, here, Johnny, you are my son, you are my daughter, because how can I not bless you? Because the reason that I am persistent, that I'm knocking and seeking and asking, is not so much that I will be ashamed of coming back to my neighbor without the goodies that he requires to be able to go to sleep in peace with some food in his stomach. But I'm persisting not so much for my shame. I'm persisting because I cannot bring shame to my Father, you see. So I need to be, I say, hey, God, I know that you're in there. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to go back to my neighbor and bring shame to yourself, because you're going to ask me, hey, didn't you tell me that you're going to go and see your friend? What happened? Well, he didn't get up. He didn't give it to me. It's not that he doesn't have it. Is that he wants to see how much desire, how much burning desire we have in our hearts and in our minds to persist, because we really want his name to be hallowed.
Hallowed be thy name. Amen. That's what we're talking about today, how we pray to hallow the name of the Lord in every situation and circumstance. We're talking radical prayer, the power of being bold and persistent. Manny Mill has authored that. Manny is the executive director of Koinonia House National Ministries. You can find out, actually, on their website more about them. khnm.net is their web address, and we'll put a link up on our website as well. In just a moment, we're going to come back, talk more with Manny about, you know, persistence. What is it? What if it feels presumptuous? How is persistence and presumption maybe linked? We'll get Manny's perspective on that. We've got some copies of his book to give away as well. And you may have a question or a comment. You're welcome to join the conversation at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. That's the title of a new book from Manny Mill. Manny has told about his story in a previous book called Radical Redemption, the real story of Manny Mill. And he has a passion for following hard after God and encouraging us today. He's executive director of Koinonia House National Ministries. Their mission is to bridge the gap between the Christian inmate and the local church. For almost 25 years, they've been facilitating the integration of the former inmate into the church, workplace, and society through biblical discipleship. And he graduated from Wheaton College, has been privileged to proclaim the gospel in churches, schools, and conferences, and especially behind prison walls all across the globe. And we're honored to have him with us today here on Connecting Faith. Manny, just say a word about persistence and presumption. Did we lose...
Looks like his phone may have dropped off. We're just trying to reconnect with him moment.
We'll reconnect with Manny in just a moment. I do want to mention we do have some copies of the book Radical Prayer to give away, and you can sign up for that at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Let's check back in with Manny. Manny, glad that you could take some time with us today and say a little bit about persistence that sometimes feels like presumption. How do we persist in prayer while still allowing God's name to be hallowed?
Well, I believe that the key, Neil, is like I said before, is that we have to make sure that the content of what we ask is real biblical. We want to make sure that we are not selfish. That's why James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you basically ask for yourself. And you're so selfish that you just want God to bless you, but you're not thinking about your neighbor. In this parable that we were just talking about, the main object is not only the hallowing of God's name that is found in on the neighbor. You see what I'm saying? I am not just coming to God asking for myself. I'm asking of God because I really have a genuine concern for my neighbor. And I believe that it is God's will that we will for the neighbors. I mean, that's what the Bible is all about. It's about loving God and loving our neighbor. And for me, I am required as a Christian to be like who? To be like Jesus. Well, to be like Jesus is to pray like Jesus. I mean, we see Jesus right now. What is he doing right now? The only thing that Jesus is doing right now in his new body, glorified body, is he's what? He is interceding for us together with the Holy Spirit. And all that we're doing is we are entering into the already radical meaning of prayer that is hallowing God's name, which is already in progress. So that's what we do when we come before the Father. We have already Jesus and the Holy Spirit right there at the throne of God. Hallelujah for that. Listening to Jesus, talking to Jesus. And then we come in and we join these two giants, both gods that are coming on my behalf before the Father. And I believe this, that when we really ask God to hallow his name and we're real biblical in what we are, God is not obligated to give us anything. Of course, now we cannot, twist his arm, but I believe that he will be so delighted to give us what we ask because what we're asking is to hallow his name. I think that when we begin to be specific, and bold without fear and persistent to hallow his name for that purpose, we will be surprised to see what God would do in us and through us.
Manny, we've got only about 4 minutes left. I'm thinking maybe just say a minute about if there a step we should take if we know our prayer life isn't what it should be, where do we begin today to go deeper?
Number one, repent. Confess that God is a God who will forgive you and give you a new beginning. And just begin to walk. That's what I did. I was 87 pounds heavier. And the moment that God told me that I got an S minus, he told me to walk with him. And I've been doing that for 5.5 years. I lost 87 pounds. And I now walk with my Father, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, I am in an adventure. And I am in expectancy that my Father, my good Father, is going to surprise me at any moment. And that's what this parable is about. It's about a good father who wants to bless his children.
Manny, would you take a moment and pray for us today, just kind of to encourage listeners that need to become bold and persistent?
Let's do that. Father, thank you for this great opportunity that you have given us, not only to hallow your name with frequency, but also for you to hallow your name as well. And Father, you are in love with your glory. You say in Isaiah 42:8 that you will not compromise your glory. So Father, I pray that we all will take today a baby step, just one step forward. That's it. If we take a step forward, you will help us to take the second step. If it means only just to get my Bible open and to read a text, one little verse, and just pray it back to you, 2 minutes is a good beginning, and then increase the next day to 3 minutes and to 4 minutes. And then, Father, we will be delighted to be in you because you're going to give us the confidence that we need, that's going to move us to a new level of joy and peace that we need to have with you. So, Father, thank you for Neil. Thank you for this vessel of mercy to be able to tell every listener that you delight when you people hallow your name in prayer. So, Father, bless them. Give them a new beginning. Thank you for the hope of glory that we have in Christ Jesus. Give them hope, Father, as they speak to you, as you speak back to them, and they enter into this perpetual love affair that you, Jesus, and the Father have, our older brother. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You want to find out thank you, Manny. You want to find out more about Manny's heart and his passion, the ministry of Koinonia House National Ministries. You can go to khnm.net. That's one way that you could do that. Or if you want to find out more about radical prayer, you can go to radicaltimeout.info. I've been talking with Manny Mill, who's leader of Koinonia House National Ministries, joining us today on Connecting Faith. And they have a great ministry to those that are coming out of prison. And thank you, Manny, for your good passion and encouragement today.
Neil, I've been humbled to be with you, and thank to all of the listeners. Thank you very much.
Manny Mill joining us today on Connecting Faith. Stop. Just pray. Talking about prayer and persistence today. Radical Prayer is the name of the book. It's published by Moody Publishers from Manny Mill. They want to encourage you tomorrow. Joe Bender will be in the rest of the week, and she's talking to Dr. Craig Evans tomorrow about how God speaks to us. Now, is the Bible just an old book full of myths, or is it a timeless book that has life-changing truths to speak to every generation? You'll discover the latter with Joe Bender, Dr. Craig Evans tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Hope to hear you then. See you then.